Chris is better known as the Modern Diver on all of his channels. Super famous for gear reviews and breakdowns, and they're some of the best I've ever seen, but that's not what I like about him. I think he's a breath of fresh air. He's got the right tone. He's got the right temperature. He's huge into tech. He teaches tech, but also recreational, so he doesn't have that kind of disdain that sometimes the tech diving world can get a little infamous for. But that's not his style. He's even keel. He's laid back. He's welcoming and thorough. He knows his stuff. He's phenomenal with gear, phenomenal with tech diving, but gets the recreational world. And of course, if you wait to the end, I'll give you my opinion on something that is not just controversial from this interview, but one of the most controversial things out there. Let's get started. So you have the Modern Diver channel.
Yes.
I almost want to call you the Modern Diver.
That's all right. Some people do.
You went super viral. You got how many followers on TikTok?
173,000 followers.
Jeez, man. I thought I had a good following. You got spanked. How'd you do it?
So I've been in the dive industry for over 10 years. So I had worked a lot in retail, and I eventually became an instructor. And luckily, the shop that I had worked at dealt with both recreational and technical diving. And I always found there was a gap between recreational and technical divers because those two groups tend not to want to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I wanted to create the Modern Diver channel was to help kind of bridge the gap between those two sides of the industry and to also help inspire a new generation of divers. Because I got into diving when I was very young, being based in Canada, the average age of divers up there is just a lot older than me, about twice my age. And so I found short form media like TikTok, Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts to be a good platform to reach out to that younger generation. But it's been interesting to see it evolve because I've noticed that people of all ages use those platforms.
They do. And, I'm noticing that too.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been really cool to see that grow. But that was kind of why I decided to create the Modern Diver channel, was to help bridge the gap between recreational and tech, and then to help grow the industry.
Now, the gap between recreational and tech, is that, and I know what you're talking about.
Sure.
Define that. Like, where is there a ball drop there?
I find you often get it where there are some shops that will teach kind of tech style diving right from day one, and then therefore their divers will tend to progress very easily from recreational into the tech world. But when you get a diver that has dealt with just a recreational shop and they've only dealt with recreational gear, they have a really hard time learning how to get into tech, because the tech shops or the only tech oriented shops just don't want to tend to deal with those divers for some reason. They don't want to spend the time to teach this guy from the ground up all these new different types of skills, and they don't want to go through the effort of helping educate those divers on what type of gear they need to use for those more extreme environments. So that to me really kind of stood out, and then that was what I wanted to use Modern Diver for, was to kind of help bridge that gap so recreational divers can make educated decisions on their gear if their end goals are tech, but also so they can use those gear in recreational environments. Because if it's good in a tech dive, it's good for a recreational dive as well. It doesn't need to be black and white like some agencies or some shops
steal
that.
It seems almost like a binary system.
Yeah.
Where you have to go from recreational to tech. You're right. I mean, there's stuff you can borrow. I think you can borrow a lot of the equipment and skill thoroughness of the tech world. But then sometimes they're like, hey, they remember we're here to have fun from the recreational world.
Exactly,
you know?
Right?
Because you see those both getting lost on both sides.
Sure.
And you see comments. Sometimes I think the tech divers are kind of like the black bones.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get people with black belts that go to the dojo. And I don't know the color hierarchy.
Sure.
But maybe I think the white belt's the beginning.
Sure.
Green or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that.
Sounds about right.
I saw Karate Kid. And it's like going and almost being like, oh, what's the matter? You should be doing this and you should be doing that. You see quite a bit of that. And I don't know if it's always intentional, but it can really sort of scare the noobs out of it.
Oh, 100%. And that's when you get people kind of start to drop out of the sport, which isn't great. Which isn't great to see at all.
What in the... You can't make it up.
What? Oh no, he's going around once more.
One more lap. One thing that you wish that every recreational diver knew that might only be in a recreational store that would help them if they want to go tech. What's the missing link there?
Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to be real quick. If you want to support this channel, go to sweetwaterscuba.com. Info's in the description. You can get the blue shirts, the red hat, the vinyl holographic tank stickers that everybody seems to love, and of course the autographed children's books that come directly from me. And back to the show.
The missing link is understanding the concept of redundancy and diving in both extreme and sensitive environments, right? So if you're diving in a recreational setup, but you're using finning methods that are disturbing the bottom, right? As an example, in open water, it can limit your visibility, but it doesn't really seem overly hazardous to a recreational diver in that open water environment. But then they take their skills to either doing an entry-level wreck penetration course, or they start doing a swim through on a tropical location, and then all of a sudden the divers behind them just can't see. And that limited visibility
can be, right?
They're kind of hitting the bottom. So as a recreational diver, really learning proper finning techniques and really learning how to control your position in the water in a sensitive environment is something that's going to progress them through all levels of diving. Because technical diving is where you really start to increase your task loading. So you're starting to take on new skills, or you're doing gas changes, or you're doing complicated planning, or you're working with lines. And if you can't hold yourself still in the water, then you're going to start to fumble and you start to twist. And I've seen a lot of divers starting to get into tech that have kind of gotten themselves entangled in line or something like that, because they have a hard time standing still while they're working with their hands. So it's just really important for those recreational divers to understand the importance of proper finning technique and buoyancy controls. And
really just
that.
Always finning and buoyancy
it
control.
Is and that's for all levels always. Of diving, right? And that's right. The thing, and it's important to understand how important that really is, and that can sometimes be one of the biggest challenges for someone to overcome when they move into tech, because they didn't really focus on it as much when they were recreational, and then they start getting into these environments that they just don't seem to have a lot of control of themselves in the water, and things just tend to snowball.
So you think it would help to have the recreational shop bring in some of those tech, like proper buoyancy and trim, proper kick stroke, or at least teach them also frog kick and things like that.
But I find a lot of the brands now are starting to really embrace the rear inflation style BCD, or the backplate style BCD. Yeah. So something like that can really help improve a diver's position in the water, which can help make them a lot more stable. Whereas somebody that's in a kind of a vertical orientation really tends to have a hard time staying in one place or doing task loading close to the ground, and that's where they tend to really stir stuff up. Or if you're in a tight space, like you start to go and do an overhead swim through a cave or a shipwreck, and then you try to go vertical, you're hitting your head off the top, you're hitting your legs off the bottom, and then a zero vis situation can be one of the most harrowing moments for a technical diver.
Absolutely. You know what's funny? I find that even brand new open water divers in like a backplate and wing setup or similar style, it actually does a lot of the work for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a jacket style, they're actually having a fight in.
Correct.
It seems more easy maybe on the surface, but you know, they're not spending time on the surface after that open water course. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's where the ball gets dropped a lot. So they're not.
Sure.
We talked about how a recreational shop could bring some of those tech elements in and help bridge that gap. How could a tech shop not? How could they bridge that gap to be more welcoming to recreational divers?
I felt when I was working in retail and stuff, we were definitely a tech-oriented shop that also taught kind of the recreational levels. And as an instructor, I've always been a recreational instructor. Kind of as I talked about, just finning, buoyancy, and position in the water, just really honing those skills in from day one and kind of giving students examples of how that can be important in recreational diving, whether they want to get into entry-level photography using a point-and-shoot camera or a GoPro or doing night dives and using a light, right? If you're holding a light in your hand and your hand swimming, you're not seeing where you're going. It's like a disco down there, right? So a lot of those skills really do make a difference. And I do believe for both recreational or technical diving that a lot of those rear inflation style BCDs, especially those modular ones, can be really beneficial to divers. But it's important to understand that different environments do require different types of gear. And talking about the modularity of a backplate system, for example, knowing what configuration you need for your environment is really important. And one example that sometimes the recreational shops will say about the backplates is the backplates can push you forward on the surface, right? Oftentimes that happens from a diver using a wing that has a higher lift capacity than what they actually need. So you might have your backplate system, but if you're diving in warm water, you might be able to get away with a 25 or 30 pound lift capacity wing. But if you're doing technical diving or cold water diving with heavier tanks and more weights, then that's where you're going to need a 40 pound plus. But if you try to use a 40 pound wing in a wetsuit and you are fully inflating it on the surface, you've got just so much air behind you that's trying to push you forward, and that can cause issues, and that's what causes a bit of miscommunication sometimes with backplates.
I kind of changed my opinion on, I was always for a back inflate, but like recently on the show, Taylor Shotzi Scuba, a young girl in her 20s, teaches all tech backplate and wing and everything. She teaches open water and backplate. I don't know if you saw that episode, but she explained why and the benefits, like you were saying. You don't have to keep rebuying gear, mm-hmm. and you can keep learning and molding mm-hmm. your gear. I don't think that's 100% always the best choice, but I think I definitely shifted more toward, I think I would try and start with that mm-hmm. than something else. Mm-hmm. I think she had a great pitch.
Sure.
I think it was good. Hot button topics. Teaching on your knees, where does that start and end with you?
Well, being based in the Great Lakes, we don't have sandy bottoms or rocky bottoms. We have 6 feet of silt, so clay, mud, sediment, whatever you want to call it. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. If you touch the bottom, you're either sticking to it or you're in a zero vis situation. So it's just not an option where I'm from. We also dive a lot of shipwrecks, but a lot of those shipwrecks are wooden, and wood gets very soft when it's waterlogged. So those shipwrecks are also very fragile. So if you start to lean on these shipwrecks, you start to kneel on them, things can start to crumble like a house of cards. So it's just not an option where I'm from. And even in tropics, if you're diving a wall and you're over 1,000 feet of open water, you can't kneel on the bottom there. And I've done Discover Local Divings in the Great Lakes with divers that have learned down south, and I've explained to them, like, you can't touch the bottom. And there was a girl not that long ago that I was working with. We were swimming along, and she actually had really good trim and buoyancy and all this jazz. And then at one point I noticed she had a lot of water in her mask because her hood was kind of breaching the seal a bit. And I'd signaled her, I was like, hey, you should clear your mask. And she was like, okay, and just instantly went vertical, deflated her BCD, dropped right to her knees, hit the bottom. This big silt cloud went up like a mushroom cloud, and I just kind of hung back and watched it, and she actually didn't move. She just stayed there. And after a moment, I kind of got concerned, so I had gone in, and I had kind of felt where her shoulders were, and I had guided her out of the silt, and once she could start to see again, she then kind of woke up out of this trance. And after the dive, we had talked, and she had said she hit the bottom, the lights went out, and she didn't know what to do, and she just froze. She had never experienced that in her life, ever, where she went from having 20 feet visibility to zero visibility instantly.
So, and this was because she'd only ever learned to clear a mask on her knees.
Correct. Correct. So she had that muscle memory of she thought that she needed to be on her knees to do that skill. That's not true.
I've seen some people get, like, right when you first get in the shallow end of a pool, right, and they can't do anything. Like, sometimes you may get down right there to eliminate, if they can't clear the mask and breathe, don't matter because they're not going to get through the class, right?
Sure.
I was talking about that with somebody, and we're right in the shallow end, we'll just to get them situated and everything, mm-hmm. and then we'll very quickly
there's
get
that
off.
Natural progression, totally. Like in the confined water is in a controlled environment with a solid bottom, so you can teach those really basic entry-level skills. So then as they progress into a more open water environment, that's where they really start to be expected to learn how to complete these skills mid-water. So there is definitely a progression.
It seems to be where this is resting at the, because this has been a big thing for a while, and it's just my perception. Everyone should be able to do the skills neutral by the time they're done with the pool. They should be able to do that in the pool by the end.
Makes a longer day for me, but it creates a safer environment for the students. It creates a more realistic environment for the students, and they will become stronger divers because we're teaching them correctly compared to just doing what it takes to jam a large group through in a short amount of time.
What do you hope to accomplish? You have a big following, mm-hmm. Particularly on TikTok. It's a Modern Diver channel. What is your ultimate goal? What do you hope to accomplish?
The biggest goal that I have with Modern Diver Channel is to just make sure that the sport continues to grow. Make sure that I'm helping inspire a new generation of divers get into the sport. Making sure that I'm helping bring awareness to some of the new equipment and changes in the industry put forward by the brands and training agencies and stuff like that. Here at DEMA 2023, there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. We're definitely in a new generation of diving. Diving is an evolving sport, and it's not stagnant. It's important to make sure that you stay up to date on stuff, and that's really where the inspiration for the name Modern Diver came from, and it was something that I can use to continue to teach about scuba, and my methods of that are always evolving as well based on the industry.
When you post what fills your cup, where's the one you're like, yeah, that's a good one, I like
it. Inspire people to look at diving as not just a sport but as a potential career and kind of moving forward from there.
What would you suggest anyone else trying to start a channel?
Biggest thing that I can say with any sort of type of content creation is really streamlining your process, right? I am very guilty of sometimes being quite ambitious on the type of videos that I try to create, and I will have a really complex kind of system to capture the footage, and one little thing doesn't work out, and then all of a sudden I'm missing clips, and then the whole kind of thing falls apart. But having a really simplified, streamlined workflow and having cameras that are easy to capture your images and being able to edit your footage efficiently is going to make it easier for you to be able to post that content. So it's just important to make sure that you enjoy both diving, filming, and editing and posting the content, because that's kind of the key to content creation. You have to enjoy the behind the scenes side of it, which is the editing and posting and all that kind of jazz, because that can burn you out really quick.
Now, the editing sucks.
The editing sucks, yeah. It does suck. But it's part of the game, and if you enjoy it, it's great. Even before diving, I was filming videos mountain biking and snowboarding, and then once I started to dive, I transitioned those skills into scuba, and then I just fell hard into the dive industry. Here we are 11 years later with the Mon Diver channel.
Chris, you're killing it. Modern Diver. Keep putting out those gear reviews and all that other good stuff.
For sure, love man. It.
Good
awesome.
Content.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming on.
No worries.
All right.
All right, just one more time, a hats off to Chris for just being above all of the, like, this is dumb. This is just good, honest advice and reviews. So here is my take on something we talked about that was controversial. This is controversial everywhere. It's a hot topic. I'll tell it to you. It's teaching on the knees. That one is huge for the last few years. Open water divers being taught on their knees. And to clarify my official stance on this, I feel like students should be able to do all the basic skills, mask clear, reg removal, gear removal, all that stuff, by the end of the pool, the confined water. Now, in the first few minutes, sometimes if people cannot clear the mask or get over that, sometimes you have to eliminate all of the other distractions and just get them in the shallow end and not worry about anything else until they can get that mask clear. Some people get hung up on that. We'll get over that, but then we'll immediately go back to getting them neutral and then off their knees. So in the deep end of the pool, by that point, they are doing all the skills neutral. That's how I teach, but it's not that hard to do. It does take a little extra time typically, but for the same reasons Chris said and for a lot of other reasons, as long as they're neutral doing the skills by the end of the pool, and then from then on in open water everything's neutral, that is how I teach now, and I think that's starting to become more and more normal as people are seeing the benefits from that. That's where I stand on that. It's still not mainstream despite what you're seeing online and in the comments. Most people that are doing this teaching neutral are doing this in a private or small group setting, which is a luxury not everybody has. I think it goes back to the real problem here is minimum requirements for open water and then charging what it takes to do that, to teach properly. Because someone that's taught properly will dive for the rest of their life and dive well. A little more work in the beginning, a lot more reward in the end. It's simple. So if you're an instructor and you haven't done that, try that. It's okay to agree, disagree, whatever you want, but put it in the comments. I want to hear it. Keep it civil, keep it nice. Just remember we are all doing this for fun and to make our lives a little bit better. So again, thank you all for being here. I love you, and we'll see you on the next episode.